she'll tell you what it's all about. It's all about Noose and My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush.
That's us.
That's us. Thursday mornings from 7:30 to 9:06 right here on X-Ray FM. I say 9:06, but sometimes we play loose and fast, and it might be 9:07. We're trying to work on it.
I love these admissions on air, you know? I don't want to get in trouble. Chase, he's lying.
Okay. Fair enough.
Mr. Hartman.
Chase, he's lying.
He's making a joke-a-doodle, you know?
He's cutting up. Morning, everybody. How are you? So glad you could join us.
Good morning, Michelle. Michelle said, good morning. Please apply the jams directly to my veins. That's exactly what has to happen for me today. I can't wake up.
Yeah.
I have been up for nearly 2 hours, and I cannot wake up. This is not great.
That's a whole different type of thing there.
I can't see the name for this text, but it says, I'm ready for this special episode streamed directly from the active war zone. Yes.
That's right.
We are in war ravaged.
Yeah.
Portland, Oregon. And it was harrowing to make it into the studio this morning as the tanks apocalypse.
Burning cars all over the place.
The zombies, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty tough, you guys. If you don't have to leave the house today, don't. You know?
It's just explosions everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Fires and rain at the same time.
It's called hellfire.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
That's what it's called. Right here in Portland, Oregon. Man.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that, actually, on my way here.
Did you take the right route?
Probably not. Mm. My car flies, so, you know, I'm just above the BS, as they say. Because when they go low, I go high in my flying car.
When they go low, I get high.
No, okay. That seems a little too accurate, but this text says, happy birthday. Oh, nope, read it wrong. Hold on, skipped. Let's start over.
Okay.
Good morning, fiancés. Happy belated, Ambush.
Aw.
P-Town. Those are blackfish.
Yep.
P-Town said, good rising. Grant, that is not what that says. Okay. I'm going to be the one that stops reading today. Grand rising, fiancés.
Here.
Good morning. Let's see. So, no to the criminal Portland on fire war town. You know, and also started with a, forget ice.
Yeah,
you know?
F ice, man.
I didn't know if I could just do the F ice, if that was enough.
I think you can do just the F.
Yeah, we're just on fire. We're just still on fire. We're still having a rough war.
Yeah, this ravaging, it's not
within
going well.
The federal government.
It's not going well.
Ain't it crazy how they can shut down but still got the money for this stuff? Mm.
Matt just hit us.
Good morning, Matt.
Says, good morning, fiancés. I missed a few shows, but now I'm back minus one wisdom tooth. Holy smokes.
Matt?
Ooh.
I couldn't open my mouth more than an inch, nor close it. All the way towards the end. Pray for me as I walk the 4 blocks to work through this war zone.
Oh, my God.
Okay, first of all, you're a wounded soldier.
You are.
And in all honesty, should you be working right now?
See you in Valhalla, brother.
Okay.
If you don't make it to work, I'll see you in Valhalla.
Oh, my God.
Me, you, and Cash sitting pretty.
I'm literally doubled over. I can never see you in Valhalla, brother.
Drinking our share of mead.
I'm happy you were able to get that wisdom tooth out.
Yeah.
I hear that is absolutely awful.
It's anguish. That is war ravaging in your mouth.
Oh, 1,000%.
Oh, my gosh. It's from the headaches. The mouth sensitivity, there's just the throbbing.
I don't have wisdom teeth, so I...
Bless you. That's genetic superiority right there. Your body was like, no, we're not doing that. That's awesome. Sheesh.
I think it is awesome now that I don't have to have them taken out, but there definitely was a moment in my life as a kid that was like, so does that mean I won't be smart?
Oh, man, that sucks.
Yeah.
I have no wisdom teeth.
But what do you mean they're not there? Like, what do you mean they just don't exist?
Oh, my God.
This text says, just keep an eye out for Black Hawk helicopters and federal agents dropping onto roofs, apparently. This isn't Chicago.
Oh, my God.
What?
When they said there were Black Hawk helicopters circling, I was like, yeah, he's wild for that.
Michelle, come on. That'll never happen here in Portland. No, in all honesty, this is terrifying, guys. Like, these are the things that... sometimes I will nervously laugh through because it is terrifying.
Yeah.
This message says, good morning, DJs Morgan and Ambush. I'm tuning in from the East Coast. Nice. Not going to lie, I woke up thinking I missed the broadcast due to the time zone difference. Fills my heart to catch y'all live. With love for the fiancés. You're not ready. Malcolm!
Malcolm, what are you doing over there?
Malcolm!
What are you doing on the East Coast? What are you doing over there? Man, are you getting some good breakfast sandwiches?
Did you get a good breakfast sandwich?
Yeah. I'm so delighted.
Malcolm, tell us everything.
Oh, tell us it all.
What are we talking about today? I'll let y'all know. We do have actual stuff. I did get some stuff down in a document yesterday. Oh, man.
It went down in the DMs.
It went down in the DMs. We're going to be talking about, in national news, a new poll dropped and leaves me asking the question, violence might be for some? Israel continues multi-pronged attack on Palestinians in Gaza and blocks multinational aid flotilla.
Bruh, that's not going to go well.
That's pretty, you know, just coordinated.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in local news, no Eric Adams today, but we do have the York Fest. And Mayor Wilson's take two on parking fees. He's pulling the eraser out.
Thank God.
Yeah.
There wasn't a single person that I talked to about that was excited for it. So cool. Cool.
Yeah, pulling back the downtown parking, they extended the time, so you had to pay to park until 10 p.m., which is, in fact, bananas.
Yeah, because what? What, we're downtown Seattle? What are we? Are we downtown Philadelphia?
10 p.m.?
10 p.m. is ridiculous. You don't have enough going on downtown for you to want to charge me to be
downtown. Do you know we used to not have to pay on Sundays? Hello? Like, I'm still mad about this.
Hello.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe you got heard.
It was pretty loud.
You know,
yeah.
You and your buds, you were able to be heard because some changes are on their way.
That's what I'm talking about.
But will any of it matter because the government is shut down?
Will any of it matter because our streets are on fire, Morgan? War ravaged.
Where?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Is there a street named War Ravage that we haven't met?
Yeah, right down by Cooch.
It's a block over from Cooch. War Ravage. I'll meet you down there.
And to be clear, I'm only making that joke not because there's activities down there, mm-hmm. but because we live in a white man's fever dream, and the fact that we pronounce that street name.
Yeah.
As his, you know, given name rather than the couch that it spells.
You know what's so funny? Like, he could have been of the Couch Clan, right? And decided he wanted to strike off on his own. And I don't want to
I'm not a couch.
I'm not a couch.
I'm a cooch.
I'm a cooch. From here on, from this day forward, I would now be referred to as a cooch.
Still That's legitimately what could have happened.
Yeah.
I was saying this to you, forgive me if I wasn't, but like, that was the kind of time when you just got to like make it up, right? Like you would get to
make it
to the next town and be like, I'm John Boone, and then get to the next one and be like, Tim Scott.
I'm Tim Williams.
Yeah. Like you just.
Yeah.
So you ain't no ID. Yeah. Like
county records, census records, all messed up.
Yeah.
Cause you three different people. And then Mr. Williamson just disappeared from record. So we don't know what happened.
You know?
That family.
But then they found his, you know, living child.
Right.
And it'll be like, oh, that guy just died? You know? Like you. we lost records of you 50 years ago, but you've been alive this whole time?
Great.
Yeah, I can't imagine changing my name purposely to Cooch. And I can't think of any time within existence of putting your name down on paper that was like, that's the one.
Right. It's always kind of meant what it means.
You know?
Oh, my God.
Anyway, so fiance is the government shutdown. I don't know if you guys know that. We're in our second day.
Malcolm said he had to flee one war zone for another. He's in Washington, D.C.
Oh, Malcolm!
Oh, Malcolm.
You went, oh, okay.
But you will get a good breakfast sandwich there, so that's good. Yikes.
Sorry, I just knocked everything over by my feet. Yes, you will get a good breakfast sandwich. And have the moment to be able to, you know, see it up close. Are you getting some good cell phone video?
Right.
I don't mean to laugh. This is awful.
Maddie sent a picture. Looks like from Mad Max. It was like me right now.
Is that Cocaine Cowboys? So let me, I'll just say that both parties tried to push through temporary funding bills in the Senate. I know we go through this, 17 times a year now? Democrats wanted to tie government funding to about $1.5 trillion in new healthcare spending. I'm pretty sure that the president of the United States called that like blackmail or something. Republicans pushed for a simple extension until November. Both went down in flames, leaving federal workers still reporting to their jobs without pay. Meanwhile, Trump is making good on threats to punish Democratic states during the shutdown. His administration just froze $26 billion. That's B-nuts. 26 B-nuts. In infrastructure money, including $18 billion for New York transit projects, he says we're tied to DEI principles. He also canceled $8 billion in what he called the Green New Scam funding.
Oh, my God.
For states like California, Washington, and Hawaii. I mean, you're not going to scam the president of the United States, okay? Yeah,
that's what you're not going to do.
The White House says mass layoffs could be next. Vice President J.D. Vance, which is one of my most least favorite sentences to say.
Smoky eyes.
Openly admitted. He does have some nice lashes. Openly admitted, we're going to have to lay people off. You know, it's just, this is just what has to happen. Experts are warning that the shutdown's uncertainty is already hurting the economy with stalled investments, higher borrowing costs, and wasted time.
It's definitely made some impact in my portfolio. I'll tell you that. I hate that it tickles you that much, you know? Morgan Jones, I have a portfolio. Squirma. Trapper keeper, but
Manila envelope. Yeah. No shade. It's literally we live together. You know? Sorry, y'all. This is probably not fun to listen to.
Oh God. Jesus.
Yeah. Just cackling into the mic. My bad. Yes, Ambush's portfolio is down.
It's been affected.
It's been affected.
Grossly affected.
What's that app called? Acorn? They just steal it from everybody.
Robin Hood. Okay.
Okay. All right. It's in the name. I mean, honestly, everybody should have known.
Wow.
Michelle said, I do appreciate the Pritzker approach of being like, Chicago isn't war ravaged. Should we be concerned that the president is under multiple war-torn TV delusions right now? I'm just asking questions. Nah, honestly. When he said something to the effect, and he being Trump, said something to the effect of like, does the Oregon governor not know? Like, is she watching different TV than me? Doesn't know what's going on. What am I seeing on TV?
Oh my God.
I was like, man, the fail up is so wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is she seeing other things than me?
Sir, you're not seeing what you're seeing.
You share deep fake videos.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But you also have an entire intelligence department that could tell you flat out, like, yeah, there's no war in Portland, sir. There's nothing happening. They did not, in fact, invade Seattle.
You know, working in U.S. intelligence under this administration has got to be, I don't know, I feel like they're like in the upswing for quality of life in the way that they don't really need to do their jobs.
Mm.
Especially when it comes to the reporting, because this administration isn't interested in the actual intelligence data. They just want to hear what they want to hear. And the best way for them to do that is to produce their own sets of facts. Which, like you said, sharing deep fakes, printing out stuff, circling stuff. Like, they don't read any of these reports. Like, there isn't a single person reading the real reports.
No.
So at this point, you really could just start putting scripts from Disney movies in the binder and just leave them on the desk and just be like, all right, it's Tuesday, but today's my Friday. I'm out of here, guys. I will see you next week. Like,
yeah. Sorry, I just had like four inappropriate jokes happen in my head when you said the Disney thing.
Okay.
It's like, finally, the Epstein files.
Got him. We got him.
I don't know who this text is from, but I can't read it out loud, but it is the winner of the day.
Uh-oh.
And it says, I learned recently Cooch is actually pronounced see you next Tuesday street. And guess, I hope that you guys can catch what I'm getting at.
And guess who that actually is?
Who is it?
Winner.
Okay. There we go.
Winner. Once again.
Once again. Just showing up, winning the day. Yeah, that's a good one. And thank you for the warning, because I would.
Yeah.
I can mess that up.
And to be clear, you apologized earlier, but we got a text. Someone said, love the laughs.
Oh, good. Love the laughs. Yeah, well, I'm so worried about it being too loud.
At the expense of my portfolio.
Yes.
Bye.
Yeah. This one says, A+ spooky season cackle, Morgan. Okay.
Blobfish.
Feeling good about it. Yeah. Feeling good about it.
Oh, my God. Man. So we talked about it on Monday, how they're looking to not just furlough people, because they're talking about they're just firing people this time.
Yeah, we don't have time for that red tape, buddy. Yeah. I can't track that I need to call you back.
Yeah.
No, you know?
Subway's hiring.
Go we'll make just, it work. We'll just start the hiring process over when it's time.
And Trump was very clear when he was talking about, you know, withholding services and stopping certain programs. And he says it like sitting at the desk, and it'll be Democrats. Like he's just saying it.
Yeah.
I am taking jabs, taking strikes. I am warring with my political opposition as the leader of the free world. My job is to govern everyone here. However, I will be taking shots and punishing Democrats. He just says these things. In one of my meetings earlier this week, I was like, it's like 100% normal that our president curses on camera. 2025. It's just completely normal that he just drops the F-bomb. Any bombs he wants.
Yeah.
On camera. And like everyone is just cool with it. Like Obama could never.
Oh, never, absolutely not. Absolutely
never. Not. Biden never. It's yeah. We have devolved into remnants of, I don't even know. I don't know. I'm so war ravaged. I can't find words. I really want someone to just make a street sign that says war ravaged and put it up somewhere. I want to show up, take some photos, do some selfies.
Nothing at all.
So that's going on.
Yeah.
In some really, really surprising and positive news. You guys been playing Minecraft lately? Yeah? Anybody hopping on the Minecraft? I'd be surprised. I feel like most of our target demo, we're within the same age range, and we're not Minecraft, and the kids are out there Minecrafting. I could be wrong. In any event, there is a library in Minecraft in which journalists, authors, independent media personalities are putting in books and different papers and pieces that are banned in their countries. They're putting them into this Minecraft library that is accessible to anyone, anywhere online within the game, which I think is super dope. I think it's super, super
dope. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried for the things that can get hidden in these kind of libraries.
Don't be worried. They're there.
So. I'm confused on the don't be worried part. Like, if they're there, then.
Yeah, you're right. I was just more like, you're accepted for what it is, but.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of, I think, how we continue to be in these issues, these crises, if you will. If we continue to accept the things as they, you know, what are you going to do? This is what happens, right? Yeah, you get a library and you get to put in the hidden manifesto messages. That's just what happens. And then all of a sudden the Minecraft library is,
gone.
16chan.
Oh, geez. We don't need that. We don't need any
I don't mean
that.
To be a downer. These are just the kind of things that immediately I get worried about because that is super dope. Like there's book banning and, you know, anti-intellectualism is... all-time high.
I'm about to say at an all-time high.
I could use a music break.
Okay.
Oh, much you? Like Michelle, who needs the jams directly into her veins. So, you know, I don't know how much dancing Michelle is going to be doing right now. I'm going to put my head down. It doesn't matter which song you play, but I am going to be excited about it.
I was just going to play America Has a Problem.
I love it.
We don't have, is there a Portland version?
2040 in the trap. We'll be right back.
Where is the War Ravaged version? War Ravaged remix.
It's featuring Kendrick Lamar.
All right, we'll be right back.
in which I believe he is going at Drake in this song. You're welcome.
Guess what? You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And in the Hale and Wheeler, Manzanita and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. And this is news from my fiance. You know what I'm saying? With me, DJ Ambush. She, Morgan
DJ
Jones.
DJ Ambush.
And all of you fiancés that have been texting this morning. We are active. Y'all active. We
Y'all
love
active.
It.
Active. Active in the it. Chat.
Active in the chat. Hey, chat.
I just wanted to give a quick little update on one, the diddler, before we move forward into our stories.
Yes.
Because we're coming up upon the time in which he's going to learn his fate. We don't know it yet. The stakes are high, you know, all the things.
When is the sentencing?
Soon.
Okay.
He was acquitted on the biggest charges. The reason why I wanted to say anything about this is I know you, Ambush. I know you pretty well. And I know that nothing that comes from this is going to satisfy.
That's true.
What you believe should happen.
Yeah. Quench my thirst for retribution.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I want to try and, you know, brace you for the inevitability of disappointment in which yet another rich man doesn't get the consequences in which he deserves. Now, you know.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Particular rich man is also a black man, so he could also, you know, go to jail for 20 years. But just want to remind, he was acquitted of the biggest charges. Like racketeering and sex trafficking, which is in fact mind-boggling.
it bottles the mind. Mind completely bottled.
But a jury did convict him on two counts of transporting women for prostitution. Each carries up to 10 years. So he could face as many as 20 years behind bars. Prosecutors want at least 11. The probation office recommended 5 to 7 years. Diddy's lawyers are asking for a day and a half. No, they're pushing for just 14 months, which would mean he could walk free because he's already served that time while awaiting trial. Victims, including Cassie Ventura, say he's unrepentant and still dangerous, while his defense argues he's changed, highlighting his family and his business and the time in jail as proof. The judge ultimately has wide discretion and could even consider appeals challenging the Old Man Act that underpins his conviction. So bottom line, Diddy could spend anywhere from weeks to decades in prison, depending on how the judge weighs the abuse allegations, his celebrity status, and of course, his ass. Huh? What say you to that, Ambush?
I definitely don't think he's going to get the time that I would like him to get. Again, this is me as a baby abolitionist. I still find space and understanding for certain people that just need to be away from everyone else. You know? I think he's probably going to get like 2 years or some crap. He's going to get something that's going to piss me off. And that's going to reward all of his supporters and sexual abusers that are in positions of power. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is, I don't think this is going to go the way
and
I'd like
it
to go.
And not in positions of power.
And not in positions of power. I'm preparing myself for all the I told you so's.
Yeah.
And all of the, see, y'all were just trying to take a black man. I'm preparing myself for social media to become nasty. Just to become nasty.
Become.
You know. Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah.
The newer wave of it based on this sentence.
Latest wave.
I'm preparing for the free Diddy parties, the Diddy's back parties. you know. All of that. I'm prepared, man. I'm prepared. I'm braced. I do appreciate you taking the steps to prep me.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, I am. Yeah. Honestly, when you've lived within a locale that's been so war ravaged for so long, you kind of, you know, it kind of shapes and kind of prepares you, shapes your perspectives and kind of prepares you for things, you know, to come. It's just like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Let's be for real.
No, it's exactly that.
Why would I think anything, you know, good would come out of this? You guys looking around, you see what's happening? Oh.
Well, I'll tell you, there is something good coming out of Portland, even though war ravaged and can't breathe. But
right.
You may not have heard of it yet. Today may be your first.
Okay.
York Fest.
What is York Fest?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Beyoncé's, you may remember when the York statue mysteriously appeared at Mount Tabor Park back in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Showed up overnight, got people talking, got vandalized, got toppled, I think is the right word.
Mm-hmm.
And then so for some folks, it just faded away and didn't think about it. And for others, it may have planted a seed.
Nice.
Fast forward to now, that seed has grown into York Fest, a week-long celebration running October 17th through the 25th, presented by Oregon Black Pioneers. We're talking film screenings, discussions, living history performances, and the big one, the premiere of York the Explorer, a folk opera by Portland-based composer Aaron Nigel Smith.
Let's go.
You're supposed to. Bum, 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 bum.
Let's go.
Production meeting was forgotten this morning in the car. Yeah. So who was York? Born enslaved in Virginia around 1772. He traveled west with Lewis and Clark. Hunted, healed, carried boats, even traded. Was the way they were able to trade with any indigenous nations. But when the expedition was over, York was denied both the freedom and the pay he'd been promised. His story was erased. It was warped or told only through racist stereotypes. York Fest is about changing that, making his contributions permanent in the record and reminding people that Black history in Oregon goes back centuries.
Nice.
As Oregon Black Pioneers put it, it is about making amends for his erasure and not honoring one of our heroes, and about honoring one of our heroes. So mark your calendars, friends. There's that. That's going to be happening October 17th through the 25th with the opera York the Explorer premiering on the 24th at the Patricia Reeser Center for the Arts.
Beautiful facility.
York's legacy isn't just history. It's a reminder that Black presence has always been here and shaping this place from the very beginning,
despite
meant to be a white utopia.
Man, that's fresh.
Super I got to tell you, when I saw the headline, I was concerned.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of the things that may be unique to being a Black person raised and born and raised in a very non-Black place.
Mm-hmm.
I was immediately like, what in the Sam Hill is about to happen here? So,
oh, man,
was very happy to continue reading. One, knowing that Aaron Nigel Smith is involved. Exactly. Like, that's always going to be like, okay.
The homie. Yeah. Yes.
And Oregon Black Pioneers.
Hello.
This wasn't somebody's PPP COVID scam that then they had to like throw something together real quick and be like, oh, wasn't there a statue somewhere, homie? You know, like.
Right.
This is great. This is intentional. I'm here for it. Happy to learn more.
Yeah.
Sorry, I am. The fall is falling and I am supposed to be in bed. And I can't keep my eyes are having a problem. I just sat there and read that, and then this eye just keeps twitching.
The eye's like, yeah. Get out of here.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but no, this is dope. I'm very happy to hear about this. And First one. Let's get this thing annual.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Let's make sure it's properly funded. And let's continue that what legacy. Creating opportunities for people to learn about York and the work that that man accomplished. So many other things. You know, it can't go the way of everything else. If we have the opportunities to preserve information and you know, reverse the whitewashing, we should take those opportunities every single time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. So we got here. I can hop into the Mary Wilson pulls the eraser out.
Yeah, why not?
Beyonce's. Portland's mayor Keith Wilson is playing musical parking hours again. Remember this summer when he unilaterally decided paid parking downtown should go all the way to 10 p.m.? Yeah. Councilors and residents were not vibing with that move. The idea was to boost revenue for the Portland Bureau of Transportation, but Wilson didn't check with anyone before hitting go. The city council called it an overreach, and apparently he got the memo. Starting October 15th, paid parking will slide back to 7 p.m. cutoff. Wilson says while the higher rates are fine, the extended hours were a little too much for our still recovering downtown, especially small businesses. Translation, maybe don't punish folks trying to grab dinner or catch a show.
Like you.
Yeah. So once again, Portland gets a start and stop parking policy. Wilson 1, downtown drivers, patience 0. Yeah, man. It never made any sense. Along with wanting to pump your own gas. And I'm sorry. It's going to keep coming back.
Yeah. It's going to keep coming back. I think we just did this, but I think it's important to continue to let people know how you feel, Ambush, as a not just a transplant to the area, but someone who has fallen in love with the city.
Yeah.
And loves it here and wants to be here and wants to help make the community better. Sorry, Absolutely. Didn't mean to kick you. And so I'm always here for your pump your own gas rant.
Yeah.
Or any other. Wait, Portland, why'd you choose to do that thing?
Gosh, you got fooled. You got tricked into freedom talk. Oh. I'm like John Oliver. That's just going to be one of my things that just keeps coming back. It was slipping in almost. You know, monthly. I got to get that back in to get that rant going.
I mean, it does make sense, though. When you come from a place where you do, in fact, only pump your own gas and have weather.
I was going to say, it's really about that torrential rain with like raindrops the size of nickels.
Yeah.
I don't want to be outside pumping my gas. Okay, there's snow everywhere. Feet of it. I don't want to leave my car. It's properly warmed.
Yeah.
It's toasty in here. Now I got to get out. I got to walk on the inside all the way to go talk to the attendant because the thing at the pump isn't working right. And I come back out and I got to shave off ice or whatever and break my gas door open. Yeah. Like, I don't want to do any of that.
No.
And y'all voted for it. Yay.
Well, one thing that was always getting me is we're talking about how do we get people to come back to downtown,
right?
And what are we gonna do? You know, we've got all this nightlife and no one going, and then you're like, also we're gonna make the parking more expensive and extend the hours for which you pay it. Oh, well, I'm not coming down there.
No. No.
What?
No. And it took me having a conversation with a small business owner for him to remind me that what it means from an employment standpoint. Like, yeah, now your employees that drive downtown have to pay for parking
until 10 p.m.
What are we doing?
I am forever upset when I have to... When the idea of me paying to go to work... Upsets me beyond
yeah
like You really put something in my face the other day, and that was how much I hate fees. And I didn't realize that, like, that's
universal.
I didn't realize how big of a deal it was to me in that I do signal that so loudly.
Yeah. She hates fees, you guys. Hates them.
I have a large problem with businesses charging me for their convenience and then saying it's my convenience. When you no longer have to pay human beings that you weren't paying enough money in the first place, but when you no longer have to pay human beings to do the job that gets your revenue in the door, and I'm paying money so that you get to do that, you're saving already.
Yeah.
And now I'm paying for your admin fee of this website or what? Like,
right.
For real.
Right. I'm doing all the work. I'm coming to your website. I'm navigating all this application you have for me. I'm paying. I'm waiting for this circle to finish to process. I don't know. Do I have to ring it up again? I don't know. I'm doing it all. Why are you charging me anything? Why? I don't understand it.
I just forgot what I was going to say. Sorry. The fees made me mad.
Yeah.
I there are things that I understand. It costs money to run a business, right? And I am not upset about fees on their own. But you're Walmart, you're Ticketmaster, you're whatever, right? And you are charging me money so that you don't have to pay someone. You have paid for this infrastructure. We've already paid for it with all of the ticket sales and whatever that we've already done, right?
Right.
So now you have, like, an immense amount of savings because you don't have a lot of people doing the same things that you used to. And we have to pay for it each and every time as a convenience fee. And then there's other fee. Like, yeah, nah. This puts me in, like, it gets me irate. And shout out to, like, all the venues that are like, hey, there are fees if you buy it online, but if you come to my box office,
right,
no fees.
Winner said, I looked at my last airline ticket, and I kid you not, one of the charges was a 9/11 fee. I wish this was a joke.
No, I think that's been there for a long time.
The heck's a 9/11 fee?
TSA.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Is what they'll tell you. I don't know. You know.
Right.
Winner, that's the thing. That gets me. Remember, okay, wait, let me think of this correctly. So they were just listing, was it that they were just listing out all the fees in the beginning? And then, like, and I'm sorry, I'm thinking of airlines. So an airline ticket, say it said it was $200, but then once you went to buy it, then there'd be like this long list of fees, yeah. And now your ticket's $420.
Yeah.
And then they made the rule that they could like roll it. Oh no, that's what it was. Is that they started just rolling it all together? Is that the case? Does anybody remember this? But then they had to start breaking it down. They had to tell us what those actual fees were. And so then you get names like 9/11 fee. What do you mean the 9/11 fee? So I'm paying today for things that y'all don't even need to do anymore.
Straight up.
Y'all haven't needed to do for 20 years. Has it been that long? Yeah. Wow. It's been that long.
Yeah.
Good morning, AJ. Speaking of war-torn, EGC has an emergency preparedness fair on Saturday. Because, you know, our local government is unhelpful.
Fire. We're definitely going to post that on our gram.
Yeah.
Faux show.
Oh, Michelle, LOL. We all really did pay for 9/11. Yes. Yes.
C's going to say, Ambush thinks TSA is just going to pay for itself.
Right. This one says 9/11, an inside job by the airline companies so they could charge us an extra fee.
That was Kenneth.
Kenneth! Good morning. Somebody needs to get Andrew Callahan on that one. Get to the bottom of this one. It was an inside job by the airline industry. All for the love of fees.
Michelle said, LOL, we really did pay for 9/11.
There's a whole new joke happening. I already read that.
This is the best day ever.
Help someone. Help.
Man. That's on record. That's gonna play back hilariously. Oh.
I'm gonna ask you for one more music break.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't mean one more. I mean one now.
Yeah. All right. All right, Hughes guys. We'll be back with more laughs.
Yay!
Yeah. Welcome back to News My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush.
Yay area. We're in Portland. We're in the Pacific Northwest, but I am actually.
Yeah. A yay Aryan?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I didn't like the way that sounds.
Yeah.
I want to not ever.
Wow. Wow.
Hit the dump button. I think that was a slur.
Hit the dump button. That may have been a slur. Join the conversation at 971-220-5979. Again, that is 971-220-5979. Was that a slur or not? We want to hear from you.
Ambush, we have a text that says, any emotional bandwidth to be mad at the Riyadh Comedy Festival?
Whew.
Am I saying it right?
I believe so. Who's on the lineup for this?
I don't know who is asking this question, but I will tell you that I always have emotional bandwidth for smoke.
Give it to me. What are the details? Where is this festival at?
Oh, do you know nothing of this? Is that what?
I saw a couple people like on a panel talking about, but I don't know what. No. Yeah. I don't know what's happening.
So the Riyadh Comedy Festival is a large international comedy festival in Saudi Arabia. Part of the drive behind the festival is Saudi Arabia's Vision 2030 initiative, which aims to diversify the economy and boost tourism and entertainment and enhance the country's cultural offerings. I think that it, human rights concerns and the whitewashing of certain things to sort of polish Saudi Arabia's image despite its record of human rights abuses.
Whoa.
You know?
I am looking at this list of performers. This is heavy
business. The list is long, fam. The list is long.
It's heavy hitters, bro.
A couple of people that I'm actually kind of shocked by being there, and it's only a couple that I'm shocked by. I did see somebody say that Kevin Hart would show up to the opening of an envelope if it paid enough money.
Yikes.
And that
yikes
was the funniest thing that happened this week to me.
So I'm seeing Mo Amir.
Yeah. Which you know, what are we doing there, babe?
Yeah. Aziz Ansari, Wayne Brady, Hannibal Buress.
Yeah, what are we doing there, babe?
Bill Burr.
What are we doing there, babe?
Jimmy Carr, Dave Chappelle, understood. Louis C.K., understood. Whitney Cummings, Pete Davidson. Yeah, Kevin and Ben Hart. what else did I see in here? Joe Coy, Bobby Lee, Sebastian Maniscalco. Used to be one of my guys. Holy smokes. Andrew Schultz. Okay. Tom Segura. All right. Ari Spears. Yeah. Chris Tucker. Oh, boy. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Wow.
Ooh. Look, I don't expect a lot of people that are fame hungry to do the right thing. And a lot of the people listed are very fame hungry. Though the and that's not to I'm sorry, I just got distracted. They're very fame hungry. Their morality, their idea of what's right is how do I make money? And when your success is, you know, measured by how much money you have or how many gigs you get or mm-hmm. the big gigs you get, or now you're finally getting, you know, flown out to somewhere else. And which one of these people don't want to go to Dubai, you know, like. It's disheartening. But none of the people, well, I won't say none. There were a handful of people that I am a little bit shocked to see on that list. But for the most part, you are looking at a group of people who would have done this no matter what the, no matter which government was bringing them there. You know mm-hmm, what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I don't pay attention to these comedians for this reason. You guys, you're not funny. I don't need to hear anything Whitney Cummings has to say. I don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to hear one more word out of Andrew Scholl's mouth.
At all.
But it'd be cool, I guess, if there were going to be words coming that they would be funny. That'd be neat. I'd be heartbroken. I'd be doubled over if like Jay Jordan was there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it is disappointing to see black and brown people. And when I say black and brown, that includes Asian to me. I guess it doesn't include Asian for some folks.
It does
that
to me.
Absolutely includes Asian to me. Bobby Lee has no business being there.
Mm-hmm. Joe Coy
has no business being there. But fame, like, you lose it.
And the check is real. So Tim Dillon was originally slated to perform, but was removed from the list of performers because of jokes that he made on his podcast about slavery in Saudi Arabia. Official figures for how much comedians are being paid have not been released to the public, but in that podcast appearance on August 30th, Dillon said that he was being paid $375,000.
Who got that? I'm sorry?
Tim Dillon. And that other performers are being offered as much as $1.6 million.
That's a lot of money.
That is a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot of money.
And I just don't know how you go and you spend it later after you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I mean, I guess for me, this is the kind of thing that you wouldn't ever... I don't want the people that I find reprieve and solace and joy and, mm-hmm. you know, like, mm-hmm. I can't get that if this is the other stuff you're doing, you know, like if, and we're just not in a time in life where you can look the other way.
No.
For a paycheck or not.
Not at all.
I mean, we're talking human rights abuses. We're not talking like, you know, a fake tariff.
Right.
And I don't know. I think, you know, reputation should matter a bit. And the reputation we have gotten into this place where, and I guess I shouldn't say gotten into it. We've always been in this place because when you are actively trying to rewrite history, you are going to be looking the other way on a lot of things. And folks here very much are able to say, I don't even know what's going on. I don't even know why this would be a bad thing. I don't even know why, you know, like Bill Burr can just be like, oh, I don't know. It was just a thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, you don't have to pay attention to what's happening there because it's never going to hit you or whatever. I don't know.
I'm curious what his explanation was. I did see that he said something, but I didn't get a chance to check it out.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to see. I haven't looked into it because I also don't really care. Bad move. If your immediate response isn't like, I didn't know that was a bad move and I'm apologetic for my bad move, I don't really want to hear the reasoning being the paycheck was big or the, you know, I got a family to feed. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
I do not want to hear that. That's not going to cut it.
That comedian and actor, this Kasim, I can't remember. I cannot remember his name, but I absolutely adore him. He's amazing. He also played Moe's boss, I think in season one, when he had to quit that job because of ICE raids. He was speaking out against it. They were in some panel discussion, and Paul Scherer, another comedian, was on stage with him, and, you know, Kasim is just laying it out like, boom, 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 boom. These are the issues with that, da, 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 da. And it's a nice little, you know, conversation. It lasts about maybe like 2 minutes. And then at the very end of it, Paul Scherer's like, well, I'm only performing for like 5 minutes. And he's not listed to perform. But when he did that, I just started dying. I'm like, this is comedy. This is great. This is how it's done. And what are we doing? It's a no, guys. It's a the duality of man, right?
Mm.
You know, problematic faves and all.
This text says, Morgan, reputation can't pay for the first class ticket. Kanye shrugged. You're 1,000% right. Except for reputation do be working sometimes. But you know, you're right.
You're right, C's.
You're right, C's. You're right. And first class is just better. You know, so when you put it in that, you know, perspective, maybe just definitely taking the money from the governments that are doing human rights abuses have been and
continue to
why not.
Oh, man.
All right. We got a couple other stories.
Yeah.
There's more to go.
Thanks for that story, though. Texter.
Yeah. Thanks
very much. Okay.
Got some more smoke because Israel is still going strong. What's happening in Gaza right now is not just a naval blockade. It's the continued starvation of an entire population, and the United States is funding it. Thank you for listening to News with My Fiancé. Israel intercepted a flotilla carrying humanitarian aid, food, medicine, basic supplies. And their ships were rammed, water cannons were used, and activists say the interception was outright illegal. Meanwhile, the world watches. Countries like Colombia are pushing back. European politicians are speaking up, but Israel continues with impunity. And the bitter irony is that the U.S. sends billions in military aid to Israel. Then activists try to send help to starving people and Israel stops it. Blocked aid equals more dead people. This is not abstract. It's urgent. Every shipment that doesn't get through is a direct threat to human life. Civilians are trapped, told to evacuate, or are being labeled terrorists, and the international community is letting it slide. This isn't just negligence. It's a catastrophic failure to protect human life while funding the machinery that enforces this siege. Aid blocked, people starving, deaths rising, and yet somehow this is being treated sort of routine. That this is just the reality in Gaza today. That's just it, you know? When you see... like, have you seen the boats? Have you seen the flotilla? When you see the urgency for these people to aid other people and the immediate blockade, Israel is doing illegal things.
Yeah.
All the time. So adding a few more and onto and into, you know, international waters, they're fine with that. That doesn't matter.
Completely.
And we only get this kind of information because there are people that have platforms that are on those boats. Because they certainly wouldn't be telling us, we stopped all those boats from coming because you can't come bring aid over here.
Right.
This is big bad, but I can't get over just how much like we send you money to do the war, and then we also send you money to do the aid, and then you block our aid, and then other countries and people get together to do aid, which you would think
we've already paid you for,
and then you block that.
Right. Right.
And I'm going to give you more money, actually. I'm going to probably give you more money for more weapons and more, you know, intelligence things so you can figure out, like, the next time there's a flotilla coming so you can block it.
This reminds me of AOC's defense for that bill that she voted for when she was saying there's a difference. You know, she was supporting the bill that would send money that would assist Israel in its defense. This is what Israel is doing with their defense budget.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. Blocking aid. There's no separation here. Defense, offense. It was a silly thing to say. And if there was another reason that she needed to vote for that, that's part of some long-term strategy that we're unaware of, then sure, whatevs. But it was like, this is what they're doing. This is simply what they're doing. You're getting paid, like you said, to provide aid. You're not doing it. Other people have taken it upon themselves. Other nations have taken it upon themselves. And you're like, no, 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 for you either. No, there's no manner of aid
right.
that is acceptable. Whether we pay for it, whether the U.S. pays for it, whether you pay for it. No aid here.
We don't want any. We don't need it. There is no war ravaging.
I remember... when Flint hit the news and it was like, you know, these people don't have any water. There were donations going all over the place. People trying to make things happen.
Yeah.
And we pulled together a truck load of water and drove it to Flint from Philadelphia. And we'd never done anything like that before.
Right.
Right. Me and the homies, we've never done anything like that before. And it wasn't until we got within maybe an hour and a half within our destination, we're going through a toll and, you know, the truck's got to go over the little weight thing so they can weigh it. And at the toll booth, they're like, no. Like, what's the problem here? You're overweight. This truck is overweight.
Don't call me fat, number one. And number two, this is water weight.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
This is water weight, buddy.
No, we don't know anything. We're just a bunch of guys trying to fill a truck and take as much water as we can to Flint. Right?
Okay.
And they're like, no, you cannot be on the highway. Your truck is overweight. So we had to find...
Oh, you're crumbling the infrastructure.
That's the potential happening. Of...
Beyonce's, you see that?
The potential of this truck causing an accident, having an accident, is high, and you cannot be on the highway. And I was like, makes sense. Gotcha. That's what all this swaying is on some of our turns. Okay, I get it. I get it. We have a whole, you know, truck full of water that is move as we make certain turns. You know, it's counterweighting. It's just like, we've never done this before. We didn't know.
We had no idea.
We didn't know.
Yeah.
We ended up having to take some city streets, find some indirect routes to get into Flint, and then we're able to distribute the water. I couldn't imagine if when we got to the border or city border or county border or something, that there were like police lined up or military lined up. You can't bring that in. I couldn't even imagine that. I would just be looking like, wait, what? What
are you talking about? Don't you want some of this water?
What are you talking about? This makes what? What we've been watching Israel do, what the U.S. has been partnering with Israel to do, it's just despicable. It's wild. And the only way, it's almost like we keep saying when we look back on this, it's just going to be viewed as one of the... We're actively watching them erase history. Looking back on this is going to look like something else. The way right. they're going to paint this, the way they're going to, you know, reshape the narrative, it's going to be something completely different than what we're experiencing right now. Which is just nasty, nasty work. Absolutely nasty work. I don't like it.
Yep.
I don't like it one bit.
No.
No.
B-Town said... So she fat shamed and told to be fat shamed and told to leave. Boy, they sure tried though. We do. Ma'am, they do try. They do.
They do.
All right, I'll take a music.
All right.
You got one of those?
I do have a music break lined up for you. Good
job. Thank you much.
All right, we'll be right back. Hey, we are back. Welcome back to News My Fiance, Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. Right here on X-Ray FM. During the conversation, she was a text at 971-220-5979. Again, that is 971-220-5979.
Y'all, I am delirious. I'm so tired. I'm delirious. And Ambush is... making it harder for me.
Am I?
Yeah.
Is it my musical selections?
Yeah. Because Meg said Yellow Diamonds Pikachu.
Uh-huh.
And that made me think of Clips.
Yeah. Clips, yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
So then I'm just in here yelling, diamonds look like pee-pee. I just need to be able to listen to a little bit of tune and go to sleep. I think that's what I need to be able to do.
Tune yourself to sleep.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But we do have one last story.
Yeah.
Ready. Do you want to read this? Do you want me to read this? I got no beef either way. No beef Wellington.
Go ahead and read it. I'll chime in.
More work for Morgan. Okay, I guess. Wow. So, yeah, maybe violence is the answer, Ambush.
Wow.
Because I've had it, you know? Want me to do all the work, and then you, I don't know, get to sit there and laugh and come up with good songs to play. Fiance, is anybody feeling on my side right now, or am I overreacting?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, okay, so let's talk about this new poll that just dropped. Nearly a third of Americans polled now say political violence might be necessary to, quote, get the country back on track. And that's up from 19% in April of 2024. This is not just a blip. This is a whole lot of people thinking violence is part of the solution.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what gets rarely said out loud. Most of the people actually doing the violence in this country, they're not the folks getting demonized in the headlines. They're not the folks getting ICE sent after them.
No.
It's right-wing extremists. and decades of data from the feds, from academics, from watchdogs show that 75 to 80% of domestic terrorism deaths since 2001 come from the far right. Left-wing incidents, single digits. Mm-hmm. And most of those are busted windows or burned equipment, not mass graves. They are property damage, not people damage. And there, let's give a little quick timeline of reality check, because there's a lot of political violence that does not get categorized as such. So the Charleston church massacre, there's a lot of people that don't call that political violence. They just call it racist violence. Well, guess who goes together?
Yeah.
In 2018, the Pittsburgh synagogue attack, 11 people gunned down during Shabbat. 2019, the El Paso Walmart, 23 people killed by a shooter who wanted to stop the, quote, Hispanic invasion. Another one that was like, well, that's not political. Are you out of your mind?
Right.
2021 Capitol insurrection, like attack. 5 dead, 140 officers injured, and an open attempt to overturn an election. And right now, in 2025, we've got political assassinations of elected officials, talking heads, and targeted attacks making headlines, and the White House issuing emergency directives to blame and misdirect but not manage. And that's political violence.
Yeah.
That's domestic terrorism. And yet the story gets softened, renamed, or ignored, because calling it what it is would mean admitting that the biggest terror threat in America comes from white supremacists, MAGA militants, and far-right militias. And admitting that would force accountability from law enforcement. And when I say would force, let's just be clear.
Would task them with it.
Right. From law enforcement, from politicians, from the same system that keeps pretending it's lone wolves and isolated incidents. Meanwhile, what does get labeled terrorism? Peaceful protests. Cities the administration doesn't like. Ordinary people saying enough is enough.
Right.
Resources get mobilized against activists while intelligence on actual white supremacist plots sit gathering dust. And that's how you continue to break public trust. So it makes sense why some folks are looking around at the chaos, the hypocrisy, the do-nothing politicians and thinking maybe violence is the answer. That alone could be scary. Because when fear and frustration meet unchecked extremism, you get an environment that normalizes violence and erodes the norms and democracy that we're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. The question for us, though, fiancés, is this. When those people say, get the country back on track, whose track are they talking about? Mm. Because it's important to know that if their answer has shifted to violence, what cause are they willing to fight for? Because all the receipts say that the threat isn't a mystery. It's been here. It's been tracked. It's been ignored. So are you going to fight that or are you mad at something else? The deliberate whitewashing and ignoring, that's helping fuel the fear, the frustration, and these rising calls for violence. Now, fiancés, I think you may know this, but I am a person who does think violence is has historically been the answer.
Yeah. It's been a catalyst for change historically.
It's certainly the answer for oppression, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't really call it violence when you're colonizing, when you're running up in and taking everything away from other people. We're somehow not calling that violence.
Right.
But the response to that would be violence somehow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have a different view and a different relationship with that word. I have a different view and a different relationship with state violence. I have a different view and a different relationship with violence from the government. So I can understand that there are some people who would never ever think that violence could be the answer to anything. And I also understand that violence has been the way that people get power.
Yeah.
How people are able to liberate some. And I don't think that the people that use power to oppress get to tell us that power is not the right move. I mean, that violence isn't the right move.
Right.
It certainly works for you.
Yeah, consistently.
So what's worrisome for me in hearing that people are starting to think that isn't that people are starting to think that. It is that, what is the threat today?
Yeah.
For
and
you.
And what type of violence are they accepting?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There's a, when we're talking about this long list of right-wing extremists, white nationalists out here inflicting pain and causing death, and then now the response is, well, you know, maybe there's some space for political violence. Maybe that's not so bad. Maybe we need a little bit more of that. Yeah. Interesting. Very, very interesting.
Yeah. It worries me when it's like, you know, a person like, what's his name? Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
If the catalyst for violence might be the answer is that, oh no, they killed Charlie, you know what I'm saying?
Right. How does that work? How exactly does that work?
We're in such a fraught space, you know? Like, we just really are not in a good space to be able to even decipher a lot of this information. Mm-hmm. Collectively, I mean, I don't mean us.
Yeah.
Sorry, but yeah, like we're not in a good place to even be able to collectively understand the violence that is put upon people, because there are so many people that don't have any idea that that violence is put upon other people.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much education to do to get someone to even appreciate that you have a cause that matters, let alone fight with you for it.
Right.
And like, that's a thing that gets me every time too. Like, how can it be this late in civilization, this late in this country's existence? Mm-hmm. And there are still people like, we're all living in different worlds and different realities.
Yeah.
And there's still people that are like, you know, everything that the government and the police and law enforcement, like, that's just, we need them
doing
to do the jobs they're doing, because the jobs they're doing keep us safe. And that may be true for some of y'all.
I don't feel safe. Y'all feel safe? You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And then the Hale and Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. Y'all feel safe in this, John?
I definitely don't. This message from P-Town, just in case anyone has misplaced this image. We are on a floating rock hurling through space. Recall the image of the Grinch in Whoville, and we got to go to work in every aspect of life.
Yikes. Zoinks.
Folks, put on them green screen war hats and clock. and cloak, and get out into this world. Filming cameras everywhere. They're just trying to watch us. Rats in a cage. Yeah.
Nasty business.
Yeah.
But very true.
Yeah, we're not doing great. You know? We're not doing great. There are things we can do. There are people that care. There are organizations that care. Another reminder, EGC is doing the safety preparedness this weekend. I'll definitely post that on our gram. I think she said Saturday. Sorry, my brain is not braining. But we'll get that up because we all we got.
Yeah.
We all we got. And so I guess in a show like this, where I feel like we didn't deliver a bunch of great news, you know, like
uplifting news.
You not mean? A whole lot of uplift that happened there. A reminder to me to thank this community because we get to talk about the really hard news twice a week with y'all and find ways to get through it together. And that community and the communities that we all have outside of here that take care of each other, this is how we make it through. And this is how we let other people know that the priorities are people and not profits. They are people, not properties, you know? Like, that's got to be the move moving forward.
Yeah. And it's a tough road to navigate, especially on your own, by yourself. That's why, you know, having these conversations and not just, you know, on social media or through media like this, but in real life are really, really important. You'd be surprised. Mm-hmm. And maybe you wouldn't because we're here in, you know, war-ravaged Portland, Oregon. But you'd be surprised how many people feel the exact same way you do.
Yeah.
And they're dealing with, you know, some degree of hopelessness. And it's just like, well, I don't, you know.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? But enough of us saying, what are you going to do is going to start turning into what we've done.
Yep.
You know? So, yeah. That's where we at with it.
So, happy Thursday, happy fiancés. Thursday.
We out the show.
We did it.
We did it. Thank you for joining us for another episode of News of My Fiancé with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush.
Me, DJ Ambush.
And our illustrious podcast editor, Kyle G of Residual Audio.
Bum, 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 bum.
Playlist is updated, and thank you so much for all the texts, man. This episode is littered with conversation. I love it. I love
Shout
it.
Out to y'all. Best.
It is early in the morning, and y'all are up.
I feel like we got more songs in today than normal, and
yeah, we did.
Still got good conversation in with the folks
and
so.
Tons. Yeah, you know, for real, seriously. So, you know the deal. Please, please, please. Don't let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening. And stay tuned for Tom Hartman.
Bye.